This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of MaxList. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. Every Wednesday, I talk to a different expert about the tools you need to get the work you want. Find Your Dream Job is brought to you by Top Resume. Top Resume has helped more than 400,000 professionals land more interviews and get hired faster. Get a free review of your resume today from one of Top Resume's expert writers. Go to maxlist.org/topresume. You may wonder if you need a new degree or other educational credential to move ahead in your career. Our guest today says before you write that first tuition check, you need to ask yourself two questions. Don't you want to know what they are? Here to talk about whether you should go back to school to get your dream job is Ken Coleman. He's the nationally syndicated radio host of The Ken Coleman Show and the author of The Proximity Principle. Ken helps people learn, grow, and challenge themselves in their professional lives. And he joins us from Nashville, Tennessee. Well, Ken, here's where I want to start. Whether it makes sense to go back to school to get your next job, I mean, that's always a popular question, but especially now during a recession. And you say everybody should ask themselves two questions in thinking about that choice. Is it the only way? And is it the best way? Why do you recommend starting there, Ken?
Because we have grown up in an America where college has become the default path to success. That's what's been marketed down our throats. And we're talking about, you know, coming out of World War II in the 50s and 60s as higher education becomes now more of a thing and it begins to grow. And now you've got federal dollars flowing into state schools for research and governors realizing this is great for economic development. And then that combines with the Pell Grant, which was wildly successful, that went into the student loan program. And families begin to say, wait, we can't afford it, but we can pay it off with a low interest rate loan over time. And so now our kids can go to college when college really wasn't a thing for many of them growing up. And so you combine those two storms into this perfect storm of a marketing message that says that college, higher education, is the best way to success. We saw this in the 70s in the form of a poster in many public high schools around the country where on one side was a gleaming college grad diploma in hand, the other side a working stiff of a guy with coveralls on and a frown and dirt on his face. And underneath it said, work smart underneath the graduate, not hard underneath the laborer. And it sent a message that the trades were less than, and college education was the high class way to go. And, you know, all again, you know, I think meant from a good place, and I'm not anti-education, but that's the message that we've been sent, and it's been drilled into our American psyche to where parents are ashamed if their kid doesn't go to college. And so you start with, is it the only way? That first question minimizes all that marketing garbage, and it makes you ask the question, do I need a college degree to do the work that I want to do? In some cases, it's going to be an absolutely no air around that. You have to have the degree. In many fields, in a growing amount of fields, you don't have to have it. And so that's why we ask the question, is it the only way? Then the secondary question is it the best way? Because there will be times where is it the only way gives you a no, but is it the best way? And the answer, again, in certain fields still is yes. But again, in many fields, the answer is no. And so if it's not a resounding yes to is it the only way or is it the best way, then now we have some clarity to say, wait a second, I could save myself a lot of time and money.
Who should you ask these questions of? I mean, what is the best way to answer them? Do you go out to talk to people? Do you do research on your own? What have you seen work, Ken?
Both and. You know, I mean, this is just good old-fashioned, what's the marketplace say? And so when you begin to look at job boards and job descriptions of jobs in the field that you are curious about going into, and then you actually talk to people who are in those fields, people who are hiring in those fields, you're going to get a really clear answer. And I think it's pretty obvious. I mean, just your basic research and then the good old-fashioned talking to folks and getting feedback is going to be all the information that you need. And it's pretty obvious. I mean, if you're going to be a doctor, you've got to go to undergrad and you got to go to med school. Lawyer, same thing. Physicist, I mean, we can do the homework on this and it's going to be pretty obvious what the ticket is for admission.
Give us examples, Ken, of professions that people think they need a educational credential for or degree, but maybe they don't. And can you give us some examples?
Of course. I mean, the glaring field that I think everybody is intrigued by and wants to go into, and for good reason, it's an exploding field, and that's technology. So just to give you an idea right now, you know, you can get a computer science degree or technology degree, and it could cost you as much as $180,000. And you can now go to many, many tech schools, what I would call a tech trade school. You know, I have a sponsor, a partner really of my radio show that can train my listeners in 9 months and less than $15,000. And they've got an 85% placement rate. And you're talking about starting range of salaries between $65,000 and $75,000 a year. And they're going to teach people who don't have any technology experience. They can teach them to be programmers. That's the coding and all different, you know, nuances there in the technology space. And what's great about that example, Mac, is that, as you know, every industry is a technology industry. You know, it doesn't matter if you're in nonprofit world, ministry world, big business, healthcare, big time sports. Technology is everywhere, and so every type of industry has a lot of technology jobs in it. And so that's just one primary example. You know, the other areas of, hey, if I want to go in and I eventually want to lead a team, let's say I just want to lead in business. Well, a lot of people think they got to go get an MBA, and the reality is that MBA isn't going to make them a better leader. It looks good behind your name. And if you go to a Ivy League and get an MBA, and there's probably a handful of other schools, if you get an MBA from there, you may get a bump in starting salary. But the reality is that you could go right into sales. You could go right into marketing with some basic training courses and things of that nature, and go in entry level, work your way up. Before you know it, you're leading a team of people making six figures, and eventually work yourself into a corner office. And again, nobody cares about the degree. So those are just two examples in the business world where the college degree is largely irrelevant.
Let's break down that process you outlined earlier, which is going out and having conversations with people before you sign up for a degree program or perhaps a technical school. How do you recommend people get started? You mentioned, well, go out and talk to folks, but let's be more specific, Ken. What's a good first, second, and third step there?
We'll start with who you know. So you can look at your close family and close friends. That would be your inner circle. So who do they know that works in the field that you're interested in working in? And then let's go another layer outside of that. Now that would be acquaintances. So these are your acquaintances. So first is that inner circle of yours, and now your acquaintances. Now these are people that, again, if you saw on the street, they'd stop and say hi. You may not be doing life with them, but you know them from social activities, whether that be sports or your kids' sporting events, and you're there two or three times a week at practice. You know, whatever your social activities are, and then I would include in this personal acquaintances. And I've recently, Max, started talking about in my show what I would call social acquaintances, and that's social media. So these are people that you don't see every day in your community, or you don't see on a semi-consistent basis in real life, but they, you do know them from college, and they were a decent friend in college. You've reconnected on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. And so those are the layers where we really get most of our job opportunities. Mark Granovetter is a well-known sociologist who did a study on this. And so those, the acquaintances are where a lot of opportunities come from. So you go there. And now you're looking at, these are who I know. Now, let's just say, just for example purposes, Mac, that you've identified 200 people that you know. So that's family, close friends, and acquaintances. And many times it's not about who we know, it's who they know. So if each one of those 200 connections knows 200 people, now you begin to see the exponential power. And so the idea is you're putting the word out. Hey, I want to learn more about this job or this industry. Do you know somebody? I'd love to just hop on the phone with them, or a Zoom or a coffee or lunch, whatever. And that's how opportunities to clarify and verify is what I call it. You know, hey, what is the best path? And that is a very practical way to get the information that you need. It's like a master's class instead of just relying on Google.
So identify the people you know, ask them for references.
Yeah, hey, will you connect me to somebody? And either do you know somebody directly, or do you know somebody that knows somebody? And so you're just putting it out there. And you're saying, will you connect me? And so this is good old fashioned, put a good word in. So they send an email or a text, or they make a phone call and say, hey, I've got a friend who is interested in doing what you do. Would you be willing to give them a few minutes on the phone? It's that simple. And most of the time, the answer is going to be yes. And so the next step, obviously, is you reach out to them and you learn. You're asking them all kinds of questions. Hey, what's your average day look like? What do you love most about the job? What do you love? What do you like the least? How'd you get there? Has that changed? Would you recommend that I go the same path that you went? What's different? You know, it's just like doing a college term paper on their role and how they got there. And that's going to offer you a tremendous amount of information.
What specific questions do you recommend asking, Ken, about education requirements?
Well, I just mentioned it. You know, how did you get qualified? Did you go to a traditional four-year school? Did you get a graduate degree? Is that relevant anymore? Can I get a certification or two or three? You know, if for instance, let's use this technology example. You know, you're talking to somebody who's a high-level programmer. Did you go to college? I did. Is that college degree that you got relevant anymore? No, it really isn't, because I had to learn this, 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 and this. And you can now learn that with certification programs and a six-week training course over here. And I'd go here. And if you've got that skill, then that's really all you need to get in here and be a programmer. That's the kind of real life stuff you're going to find out. And you're going to realize, okay, back to those two questions we started off with. Is it the only way? They're going to tell you their opinion. And get multiple opinions, put them all in one bucket, and let's see where we land. Is it the best way? Again, they're going to give you an opinion on that as well.
I want to take a break, Ken. And when we come back, I want to dig in a little more into how to analyze the opinions that you get, because I know there's a listener out there who's thinking, well, I did that and I got conflicting advice. So stay with us. And when we return, we'll continue our conversation with Ken Coleman. You may not need to go back to school to get your next job, but you still need a resume. Before you update yours, get it reviewed for free. Go to maxlist.org/top-resume. Top Resume's expert writers will give you actionable tips to make your resume better. Go to maxlist.org/top-resume. And if you don't want to do it yourself, you can hire Top Resume to revise your resume for you. Go to maxlist.org/top-resume. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the MaxList studio. I'm talking with Ken Coleman. He's the nationally syndicated radio host of The Ken Coleman Show and the author of The Proximity Principle. He joins us from Nashville, Tennessee. Ken, before the break, we were talking about how to have conversations with people about to determine what educational credentials you need to get your dream job. And I'm curious, how do you recommend people sort out conflicting advice? Because they might hear one thing from one expert and then another from a second expert. What's your advice there?
Well, you got to use the good old-fashioned common sense, but I think the purpose of getting multiple opinions is to see where are the consistencies. Because I would look at two main things in the advice they get from folks. Number one, the facts. Because I think facts are facts. Now, I think opinions about how you arrived at a fact, I think that's kind of interesting. And I think those can vary. But I don't think you're going to see a tremendous amount of difference in some of these facts, because it's a straightforward, you know, how did you get qualified? Do you think I need this? And so you've got the opinion piece, but then there's the, here's kind of what's going on in the industry. And I think if you do enough of those conversations with people that are really successful and are in there, you're going to see consistency in what I would call the facts. All right. Now, opinions on how you get there, what you do, you've got to do the old fashioned, like I said, common sense test there and go, I got this many opinions on this particular issue. I had some strong opinions on this one. And you kind of weigh it all out and you look at it. And you say, all right, I'm seeing some themes here. And then you have to sit down and go, well, what do I think? What do I think is best for me? Because each one of these people who gave you an opinion on whether or not you should do it or not, well, they're coming at it from their perspective. They're coming at it from maybe from their financial standpoint. So you've got to remove all opinions, get the facts, and then say, what do I think is the best decision for me? And then I would also trust your gut, and I'll tell you why. I was fascinated by this, Max. So I did some research and was reading about the studies that neurologists have done on the brain and this idea of the gut. Is this gut feeling any different from the logic in the brain? And some neuroscientists tested some world-class chess players. And the long story short is they found that they put heart monitors on these world-class grandmaster chess players. And every time that one of the master chess players made a bad move, right before they made a move that ended up being negative for them in the match, their heart rate spiked. And the conclusion they walked away from with this study was is that the body is connected to the brain. Duh. And so the heart rate, because the brain was saying, it's not a good idea, not a good idea, not a good idea, but it was sending a physical message and the heart rate spiked. And that's what people refer to as, well, I had this feeling. Well, the feeling is not this mystical thing in your gut that you just play a hunch. It's actually connected to the brain and the logic. And so the logic that we kind of say, well, I made a logical decision. I used my head on this one. Well, that gut feeling when you just feel in your body that it's not right, that's because your brain is trying to send a message to you, don't do this or do this. And so when we have a gut feeling to yes, do something or a gut feeling to not do something, we've got to trust that. That is our brain sending us one more signal through our body. And so I think you got to trust that gut.
Speaking of feelings, at the start of our show, you mentioned the expectation that's out there that you should go to college. Ken, what do you recommend to a listener who goes through this process, talks to people, decides that they don't need an MBA or a college degree to accomplish their goal? How should they deal with the expectations of family members or peers who say, well, you got to go to school? What advice do you have for someone who's taken a different path?
Yeah, I think they've got to be clear and they got to be respectful. They got to be clear before they go into those conversations that they're going to have some people that push back, that think that's not a smart decision, that's risky. And they've got to be clear on why they've made the decision that they've made and retreat to clarity and say, I know why I'm making this decision. I know it's solid. They're not going to have all the facts. They don't have all the information that I have, and I got to be okay with that. And I don't need to convince them. And so I need to stay clear in these conversations and not let them sway me and not let their approval, because it's powerful. The approval of our family and peers is such a huge deal to us humans. And so we got to be clear going into these conversations and know that there's going to be some pushback and be okay with it. The second thing is be respectful. You don't have to explain your decision. Share what you want to share. Don't share anything at all. And then remember this, that nobody cares where you went to school. Nobody does. I would ask your listeners just to go with me to the last time they went to a doctor's appointment, maybe a dentist appointment, something of a medical nature that clearly is not, you know, left up to amateurs, and you're putting your body in their hands. And I want to know if anybody, just ask yourself, if you, before you got your treatment or before the doctor saw you, did you say, hey, would you go back in your office real quick and grab those diplomas? I'd like to see your undergrad diploma. And I'd like to see the master's degree or the graduate level degree that you got. Could you bring those in, please? Nobody does that. Nobody does that. Well, why? Because we're there at that doctor or at that dentist because we've heard something credible about them. We walk in, we assess the situation, we say, okay, we think we're in a credible place. And we put our trust in these folks, and we don't even know where they went to school. We didn't interview them about their grades or their GPA. So nobody cares where you went to school. What people care about is, can you do the job? And that includes your leader, that includes your team, and that includes the customer. Nobody cares.
Let's talk about what else you can do to get your dream job besides going back to school. I know some of the options you recommend are on-the-job training, alternative education, and even more networking. Talk to us about those alternatives, Ken.
Yeah, so on-the-job training, I mean, we're seeing Google doing this now. You're going to see other big-time companies. We're seeing, I believe, the accounting firm of Deloitte & Touche. I could be wrong. It might be one of the other big names. But they are removing the college degree as a requirement. And the reason is because they know that people with the basic math skills and character traits that they're looking for, that they can train them to do the work that they want to do. And so they have a robust training program. So you're going to see more and more companies doing this on the job training, where they bring you in at entry level, they train you, they may even reimburse you for some schooling or certification. And so they're going to take care of that themselves. The other type of on the job training is just good old fashioned experience. I don't have a college degree. I left early. It was intentional to get into the workforce and then eventually transitioned into radio. And I just learned how to do radio by starting on Saturdays when nobody's listening. Believe me, Saturday AM radio at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, nobody's listening, but that's when I started. And that's how I got good. And it was just good old fashioned, put myself up there, taking cuts at the plate. And that is the on-the-job option. The other option is the alternative education, which again, I mentioned, I've got a partner on my show that is, again, training people. I mean, and placing them in Silicon Valley and beyond. And these are programs that are a fraction of the cost and time of college. And then the third is just good old-fashioned, the proximity principle. It's why I wrote it. It says, in order to do what you want to do, you've got to be around people that are doing it and in places where it is happening. What that simply means is, if you put yourself around the right people and put yourself in the right places, opportunity comes knocking on your door. You don't have to kick the door down. You don't have to wave your hand and jump up and down. And that's just the way it works. And it's always worked that way. It's not a new concept. So those three ways, that's how you get in and that's how you move up.
What steps do you recommend someone take to sort out the different value of those opportunities and figure out what strategy might work the best for them?
It's a really fancy question. Are you just simply saying which of those three is the best way to go and how to determine that?
Yeah, I think you've translated it into plain English. Thank you, Ken.
There we go. Yeah, you're so smart. See, I'm not even college educated, folks. I gotta decipher through Max intelligence.
I have a feeling your GPA was higher than mine, but go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. That'd be a fun contest. So here, it comes down to, again, looking at the particular area. Okay, so let's say you want to get into broadcasting. You know, degree is really not a big deal if you want to be an on-air. If you want to be a producer, that's going to be more of an issue, the technicalities there. But to be an on-air talent in this particular field, the alternative education could be all three. It's going to be on-the-job training. It's going to be connecting like a madman. I think it's always all three on some level. So I don't think it's the way you asked the question. I don't think it's, well, I'm going with option A and then we'll see if the others work. I think it's always all three. Even if you have a college education, because I think college education in most fields is just really, really irrelevant. And so I think you got to look at what's the best step right now. So, okay, before I do on the job training, I need to get the alternative education. I need to connect like a wild man, while I'm doing that, so that I get into a place that will continue to train me. I just don't know that there's a linear answer there on one or the other. I think it's all three. And I think it'll reveal itself to you depending on the industry and depending on the job you're looking at.
What's striking to me as you talk, Ken, is it also depends on having a clear idea of where you want to go and the industry and the company you want to work in, doesn't it?
Oh, well, absolutely. That will reveal itself. So, I mean, we could go with a million examples here. So let's say that you want to get into graphic design. All right. So by its nature, that's a very artistic, creative role. So you either got the chops or you don't. All right. So you're going, well, I think I'm pretty good, but I want to put myself out there and I'm looking for a junior graphic design position or whatever. And so we go to a company or two or three, company XYZ, company ABC, company DEF. We look at the job description and we look at it and we go, all right, I think I got the chops there. I think I've got the base experience level for this. So now what? Well, is there some additional certifications or some classes that you could take that would give you a little bit of an extra bump on your resume to say, I've also done this. I've taken this course on graphic design and I've taken this and I'm a part of this association, whatever. And now I'm going to be connecting like crazy to see if I know anybody that works over there who can recommend me, or are some good graphic designers, some people I can get to know, and they would endorse me on my resume. And so I've got some senior level graphic designers saying, this gal, this guy, they've got the chops, they're talented. I really recommend them. And then, you know, once you get in, you ask yourself in the interview process, as they begin to talk to you back and forth, ask questions like, hey, what does on-the-job training and development look like? Do you guys do that here? What's it look like? Do you reimburse for continual education in this area? So, you know, again, that's the practical nature of it. What's the job? And then which of those three strategies do I need to employ? Do I employ all three? Which one comes first? And so on and so forth.
It's been a terrific conversation, Ken. Now tell us, what's next for you?
Well, we're working on a great, what I call a self-awareness assessment that will measure talent, what you do best, passion, the work you love to perform, and mission, the results of your work that matter most deeply to you. All those three results come together for someone to see their sweet spot in the marketplace. And the fun thing about this, Mac, is there's multiple jobs, multiple career paths, and multiple dream jobs in the sweet spot. So we're going to reveal that for people. And we just believe that's going to be groundbreaking. And then also working on my next big book, which will reveal the seven stages to meaningful work, which is get clear, get qualified, get connected, get started, get promoted, get the dream job, and then give yourself away. So quick preview there on what we're working on. We're really excited. It's going to help a lot of people around the globe.
Well, terrific. I know people can learn more about both your upcoming book and your services by visiting your website, kencoleman.com. Now, Ken, given all the terrific advice you've shared today, what's the one thing you want a listener to remember about whether you should go back to school or not to get your dream job?
Is it the only way? Is it the only possible way to get qualified, to actually have a shot to get in your field and move up? Is it the best way? If the answer is yes to both of those, do it. If it's not, find the alternative, be okay with what other people say about it, and get after what it is that you were created to do.
Make sure you never miss an episode of Find Your Dream Job. Subscribe to our free podcast newsletter. You'll get information about our guests, free job search articles, and transcripts of every show. Go to maxlist.org/show notes. Again, that's maxlist.org/show notes. Next week, our guest will be Tracy Hooper. She's a former TV news anchor and the founder of the Confidence Project. Tracy is also the author of The New Hello, What to Say, What to Do in the New World of Work. When you customize a job application, you improve your odds of getting an interview. And Tracy says you need to be just as thoughtful about your language when you speak to a hiring manager. Join us next Wednesday when Tracy Hooper and I talk about words to use and lose in your next job interview. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.